Finishing up with Pell Mell, band from the Pacific Northwest from several decades ago. I know Steve Fisk was in the band, and I hadn't heard that album in so long. Pulled it off the wall. But hey, it's time to air some Pell Mell. Revival. The album's called Interstate. Wake Ulu before that, which I believe is a Feelies spinoff. We heard Monday Morning from their album What About It? Wake Ulu. Jaco Pastorius. Watch me butcher this title. I'm going to try. It's Ocancole y Trompa. Close enough, you know, from his self-titled album, Jaco Pastorius. Ilan Irsahin gave us Tunnel from Istanbul Sessions, volume 906. OTE before that did That's the Spirit. They have a whole bunch of great instrumental singles worth checking out. OTE. Thanks to Gus Bodenheim for helping the listeners, as he does every week. He makes such valuable contributions, not just to this program, but to your mental health. And his. I'll be back next week, so will Gus. You're invited to stay tuned for 7 Second Delay with Ken. Andy's not here, although Andy will be heard on tape. It's a clips show, kind of a best of, dipping into the archive for short segments of various programs from the past. My name's Irwin. I'll be back next Wednesday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, here on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org.
Tonight on 7 Second Delay, no Andy. He is still on his gambling junket, drifting around the Caribbean, spending most of his time at the casino playing roulette and procrastinating writing his 10th script for his forthcoming TV show, Einstein. So we're going to play some 7 Second Delay clips, but because I don't have enough 7 Second Delay clips to fill out the hour, we're going to start off for the first 15 minutes or so playing clips from other talk radio programs, primarily Phil Hendry, one of my favorites, and some prank phone call audio from Longmont Potion Castle, starting with electrical talk. Stay tuned.
Today on Getting Things Done, we're going to be talking about electricity. If you've ever come across a frayed wire, a busted outlet, even a tangle of Christmas cords, you've been dealing with electricity problems. Today, we're going to talk to some experts on it and get advice straight from the source, people that know a lot about electricity. So now we're going to get your calls. Vince in Parsippany, you're on Getting Things Done. You're on the air.
Hi there.
Hi.
I own a bucket truck, and so I got in there to install my midget connector. It's just a limited space there where I need to work. So I climbed up there and got my pigtail wires out, and I used my bull wheel, and I used the concentric stranding. A lot of people use bunch stranding, but there's no regard to the geometric arrangement of it all. So I stuck with the concentric stranding during insertion and the subsequent elongation. And I used my ground rod to fuse my spur. Anyway, I tripped my arrestor during this process. So with my sectionalizer,
we're trying to reach is not available to take your call. Please leave a message after.
On
an auxiliary level.
Oh, he's still with us. Oh, boy. Thought we got a pass on that for
Vince, you cut out there for a second. You cut out there for a second, Vince.
Yeah, I'm not too sure about that.
Hi.
So
it's really an all or nothing relay at this point for the purpose of providing higher rated contact with my midget connector. My bucket truck is going up and down with these pigtail wires, and my ground rod's elongating with my radial circuit raceway. The whole channel is designed for holding conductors, so would a busway or a wireway do the same thing as my arrestor?
Well, last I checked, I believe a busway, at least what I understand, it would be something to run some cabling. I don't quite grasp. What are you doing with like all this stuff? I mean, I think that's let's find out what you're doing first. That might help, Vince.
Sure. I'm installing an automatic recloser switch used to open and close an overcurrent event with my autonomous photovoltaic system. It's a backup generating source. It has no batteries because they are designed for a minimum amount of days or a maximum amount of days. I wanted something using my ground rod that can just fuse my spur on no notice, or using my proprietary codec on my radial circuit.
Yeah, I mean, Vince, don't forget, from what you're saying ground rod a lot? That's more of a safety thing. First and foremost, you want to make sure your rod is grounded. That's important. From there, there could be a number of things. Again, you mentioned a lot to us, I think. And,
as a non-electrician, can you guys translate? Because I didn't get any of that.
No, I haven't really worked on a... What was it?
I know we started with a bucket truck.
A bucket truck,
I get what that does, but I know what the ground rod does, but
yeah.
I think that might
be
the
same boat.
A little out of our wheelhouse.
Vince, are you an electrician?
I dabble.
So in layman's terms, what are you describing here?
Well, the electric current is not balanced that I'm receiving at my place of residence. Sometimes, the body of a person who is grounded will come in and touch an energized part of the circuit. And so I wanted to stabilize this whole thing, got on my bucket truck, got my midget connector, got my pigtail wires. And using my bull wheel, I held the tension during the installation process, used the concentric stranding, and fused my spur so I could stabilize the conductor, avoid any leakage.
Oh. Yeah, if you're talking about your house, and I heard your house isn't balanced, the current isn't balanced.
The only thing I can think is he should stop dabbling.
Yeah, I mean, if your stuff is unbalanced, it could be a phasing issue. You might actually need to even bring in Con Edison, depending if it's a single phase or a three phase. Maybe you have a phase that's just not working. And at that level, you're going to need to definitely give Con Ed a call and make sure that everything is working the way it's supposed to. You can also just grab a multimeter and take a reading between your neutral and your first phase, second phase, and potential third phase. Make sure you're getting 120 across the neutral and 220 across the phases.
Okay, with the auxiliary power? Or just the correct operation in general with my relay? My bushings got energized in this process and interrupted my ground rod. So I'm going to go reproduce. I'll get back to let you know what happened.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Is there any last one word, like one sentence question that you have in layman's terms?
Oh, about my spectrum? As it applies to terrestrial broadcasting, there's two modes of operation. In power circuits, the ISD can deliver a fixed 5V or an adjustable 1.3.
You got to wrap that gavel up.
Okay. Can we drop the call, please?
He sounds like the dog in Ghostbusters.
Okay. Do I sound like the dog?
No. Okay. When he goes... He sounds like Rick Moranis when he gets transformed into the dog.
That was a compliment.
Rick Moranis transformed into a dog?
Yeah. Yeah, in Ghostbusters.
In Honey,
Ghostbusters. The gargoyle dog thing.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, how are you?
Fine.
I was wondering about something that deplorable plane crashes, and if they were a bomb or mechanical failure, the inevitable still happened, which is unfortunate. I was wondering, indeed, if it was a bomb, how come the pilots always landed in a place that there were no people on the ground? So you might say that destiny saved other people from getting killed. You follow me?
Because, Miami Beach, hello.
Hello?
Miami Beach, go ahead.
Yeah. I was going to say that deplorable plane crashes, whether it was a bomb or mechanical failure, it's still deplorable. However, how come they always landed where there were no people on the ground? It seems like destiny played a part.
I want to go to Irving in Miami Beach. Hello?
Yeah, here I am.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Go ahead.
The deplorable plane crashes. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that whether it was mechanical or a bomb, or whatever kind of terrorism, I was just thinking, you follow me?
Miami Beach?
Hello?
Irving in Miami Beach.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go on, sir.
Well, you don't seem to be listening to me.
I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I say the deplorable plane crashes, at least when they landed, they landed in water or on a mountain or in the Everglades or in Lockerbie on the ground where there were no people, at least.
We have a Miami or Miami Beach on the line.
Miami Beach.
All right, go ahead. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go on.
Yeah, I'd say at least the people on the plane were weren't fortunate victims, but the people on the ground...
Is this Irving?
Yes.
All right, you're in Miami Beach, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
All these last 8 or 10 plane crashes all landed in places where there no people were hurt on the ground. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, sir.
At least, thank heavens for that. So either destiny or the pilots themselves, seeing that there was going to be a crash, guided the plane to a safer area that nobody else would get killed.
All right, let's go to Miami Beach for this next call. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
These deplorable plane crashes, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, do you want to say something on the air?
No.
All righty.
Thank you. It's a very nice show.
Would you like to talk to Phil?
Yeah.
All right, so you have to hold on for Phil Hendry, okay?
Okay.
Hold on. I want to know then, and everybody was down there, and I didn't see any of them. They were all out there on the beach. Let's go to Miami Beach. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, the horrible plane crashes the last few years, at least, thank heavens, they didn't kill any innocent people on the ground. Either the pilots maneuvered the plane to a place that they wouldn't kill anybody else, or else destiny was with the innocent people on the ground. I'm very thankful for that.
All right, and what's your comment?
But that's the comment.
All right, what did you want to say?
I said that it's very fortunate that the more people weren't killed if they had crashed into a densely populated area.
Miami Beach?
Yes.
Hello.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yes. How are you today, Phil?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, fine.
Go ahead.
What do you think of this duel? You think he's guilty or innocent?
Okay. What's your comment?
Hello?
Irving in Miami Beach.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go on, sir.
Well, you don't seem to be listening to me.
I hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I say the deplorable plane crashes, at least when they landed in water or on the mountain or in the Everglades or in Lockerbie on the ground where there were no people, at least.
We have a Miami or Miami Beach on the line.
Miami Beach.
All right, go ahead. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go on.
Yeah. I'd say at least the people on the plane, were unfortunate victims, but the people on the ground...
Is this Irving?
Yes.
All right, you're in Miami Beach, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
All these last 8 or 10 plane crashes all landed in places where there no people were hurt on the ground. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Yes, sir.
At least, thank heavens for that. So either destiny or the pilots themselves, seeing that there was going to be a crash, guided the plane to a safer area that nobody else would get killed.
All right, let's go to Miami Beach for this next call. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can hear you.
These deplorable plane crashes, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, do you want to say something on the air?
No.
All righty.
Thank you, it's a very nice show.
Would you like to talk to Phil?
Yeah.
All right, so well, you have to hold on for Phil Hendry, okay?
Okay.
Hold on. I went one thing, and everybody was down there, and I didn't see any of them. They were all out there on the beach. Let's go to Miami Beach. Hello.
Yeah. Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, the horrible plane crashes the last few years, at least, thank heavens, they didn't kill any innocent people on the ground. Either the pilots maneuvered the plane to a place that they wouldn't kill anybody else, or else destiny was with the innocent people on the ground. I'm very thankful for that.
All right, and what's your comment?
But that's the comment that...
All right, what did you want to say?
I said that it's very fortunate that the more people weren't killed if they had crashed into a densely populated area.
Miami Beach?
Yes.
Hello?
I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yes. How are you today, Phil?
Fine, how are you?
Oh, fine.
Go ahead.
What do you think of this duel? You think he's guilty or innocent?
Okay, what's your comment?
How come the pilots always landed in a place that there were no people on the ground? So you might say that destiny saved other people from getting killed. You follow me?
Miami Beach, hello.
Hello?
Miami Beach, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that deplorable plane crashes, whether it was a bomb or mechanical failure, it's still deplorable. However, how come they always landed where there were no people on the ground? It seems like destiny played a part.
I'm going to go to Irving in Miami Beach. Hello?
Yeah, here I am.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Go ahead.
The deplorable plane crashes. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that whether it was mechanical or a bomb or whatever kind of terrorism, I was just thinking... The people on the plane, were unfortunate victims, but the people on the ground.
Is this Irving?
Yes.
All right, you're in Miami Beach, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
The people on the plane, were all these last 8 or 10 plane crashes. All these deplorable plane crashes. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
At least, thank heavens for that. So either destiny or the pilots themselves, seeing that there was going to be a crash, guided the plane to a safer area that nobody else would get killed.
Hello?
Yeah, I need to talk to Gomez and stuff.
This is not the Gomez residence. This
no.
number has been ours for over a year, but we get Gomez calls all the time.
No, I am Gomez, I said.
You are?
Yes.
Yes?
I need to know what my call activity has been over the last 15 or 18
months. Why do you
months.
Need to know that? Why do I have your telephone number and I keep getting all your phone calls?
That's exactly what I'm calling. Frankly, I don't like the attitude that you've been giving my customers, you know.
Excuse me, this is my residence. All
but,
I said
but this
was,
is my business, you know.
No one ever said it was a business. They called, they asked for Gomez.
Look,
so-and-so Gomez, by a lady's name, usually.
Don't talk to me about my business, young lady. Okay, that's what I have to say to you.
Hello,
ma'am.
Mr. Gomez, if you have a problem because people are calling me for you, you need to call the phone company. Which is what I intend to do as soon as I hang up the phone.
No, you know, look, you give me problems about my business.
Excuse me. I don't give you problems about your business. When people call here, they ask for Ruben Gomez or some other woman, I say, I'm sorry, this isn't the Gomez residence.
No,
that's my answer. I don't know what you do for a business. I could care less.
I deal with Elastico Gomez, man.
I don't know that name.
What is your name, you know?
What's the difference? This is my phone number. I don't need to give you any information. This is the number that was assigned to me more than a year ago.
You know, I have many people in my line of work, you know.
So?
I'm a very wealthy man.
I don't care.
Very powerful man. Very...
I don't care.
Extravagant man.
I don't care. All I'm saying is we get phone calls all the time for Gomez. We always say... This isn't the Gomez residence. We've had this number for about a year now, and
what
I don't know who...
What do you want, jewels?
I want nothing.
Wealth? What do you want?
I want you off my phone. I don't want you to call me again either.
Would you like jewels, madam?
Listen, if you don't get off the phone and you call me again, I'm going to call the police.
Jewels are my business. I'm an extravagant man. That's what I am.
I don't care.
That's my business right there.
I don't care.
Now, look, do you want wealth?
Phone number. What do you want me to do when people call?
Travel the world? What do you want?
I don't want anything. I just don't want you to call me. If people call for you, I just say this is the wrong number.
I've been all around the world, you know.
Who
I'm a very, very elegant man.
What do you want from me? What do you want me to do when people call?
I would like you to come work for my business.
Yeah, right. I'm hanging up, and I don't wish for you to call back.
Look, I am Gomez, okay?
I don't care.
That's who I am. What do you want, jewels, gold, what do you want?
Your program is this, and your radio station, and I will...
But ma'am, I'm saying...
I'm hanging up, I'll never listen again, goodbye.
What is she doing? Did she hang the phone?
Yeah.
Ma'am?
What?
Ma'am, you have not hung your phone up.
Yes, I... Wait.
What is she doing?
There, you sons of bitches.
Ma'am?
What?
You need to hang your phone up.
I have hung my phone up.
How could you have hung your phone up if I'm still talking to you?
You filthy... Let me hang it up. One final thing before I die.
What is she doing? Tell the lady, put her on hold and tell her to hang her phone up.
Oh, Christ, what's wrong? Please, Jesus Christ, I've been a Christian my whole life. Please let me find the physical strength to hang up.
Just hang the phone up, ma'am.
You sons of bastards, you bitch.
Well, you know, she's on the air there, so I don't know what to tell you. Ma'am, are you there?
Oh, please, Jesus. I gotta buy a new phone. I gotta...
You're listening to the...
Why can't I do it?
Okay, some non-7-second delay clips there on tonight's clip extravaganza. We heard Phil Hendry right there and hang up the phone. He was probably doing both voices on that one. And Longmont Potion Castle before that with the classic Gomez residence, a prank call that the person known as Longmont Potion Castle placed. And by the way, the WFMU archives have a great interview with the guy behind Longmont Potion Castle on the Michael Shelley archives. And before that, we heard my own remix of Phil Hendry's Miami Beach Hello, which I presume features a real person named Irving, but with Phil Hendry, you never know. It might be him doing an Irving character. And we started off with Electric Talk from the soundtrack of the documentary about Longmont Potion Castle, which is called Where in the Hell is the Lavender House? And now we're going to hear some 7 Second Delay clips. This one is about Andy's bucket list from just a couple of years ago. Hey, Beth, enjoy the Olympics. I know you're working the Olympics this year.
Yeah. I leave this time next week.
Wow.
I'll be.
Wait, what's the name of your town? Bethy, maybe we have listeners that are in your town.
Chateau Roux. It's in the Loire Valley. It's like the size of Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay. Well, maybe there are listeners listening that are in it or near it, and you'll be there. You volunteered to be in the Olympics, which is one of Beth's dreams.
It was on her
bucket list.
All right, Beth, hang on the line, and Sam the appraiser will take your address.
Okay, thanks,
and mail you $3.
Congratulations on $3. You know, that was always been on Beth's bucket list. You know, I only have one thing left on my bucket list.
What's that?
And I'm going to achieve it, I think, within the next week.
What is it?
I want to have sex with an actual bucket.
Why haven't you done that yet?
I've been kind of scared. I've been grooming a bucket. I have a bucket at home.
Yeah.
We're getting ready. Maybe by this time next week.
Can you bring it on the air and do it on the air?
Ken, you're so perverted. No!
Ken, where are you?
Oh, hi, you're on the air.
This is Herb. Hello.
Hey, hi, Herb.
Hi, Herb. Hey, Herb, did you write a review that we can pay you for?
I did write a review, yes.
We'd love to hear it, right, Ken?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
You know what I think? I think people have to go to the iTunes store to post a review.
Oh.
That could be it.
Oh, go to the iTunes store if you're writing reviews after you've read them to us on the air.
Right.
Oh, you know, I hit the link that you have on your site, and I scrolled down, and then I saw the post a review.
Oh, you did see it. Okay, that's good. Excellent. Maybe you were logged into Apple. Maybe that was it.
Oh, maybe, right.
Because I wouldn't log into Apple with a 10-foot pole myself, so I'm not seeing it. So.
Yeah, that'll teach them. That'll teach them, Ken. That'll bring them to their knees. Ken's boycotting Apple.
You think it will?
It hasn't yet. Yeah, no.
No, I don't boycott them. I have an iPhone.
You just don't post with your name
on it. I just don't use iTunes.
Yeah, that'll teach them.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. The alarm bells are going off right now.
A man's got to stand for something, Andy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'm sorry, Herb. Go ahead. Herb,
let me read it?
Yeah, please. We're keen to hear it.
Okay, here goes. Whenever I listen to 7 Second Delay, I turn up the volume and my entire building is laughing with me. We're so loud that the building next door says to turn it down.
That's great, Herb.
That's great, Herb. You turn up 7 Second Delay so loud that everybody in the building laughs, and the next building sort of complains about it.
Exactly.
I love that.
Wow.
How much does Herb get from you, Andy?
Herb, that is a $2 review.
Why only $2?
Because it's kind of stupid.
It's very stupid, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's very stupid.
Well, Herb,
but it's kind of stupid.
$2 is $2.
Yeah, $2. What can you get for $2 these days? You can supersize your milkshake at Wendy's.
I'll do it tomorrow.
All right, Herb, I'm going to put you on hold, and Sam the appraiser is going to take down your address to mail you your $2.
Great, thank you.
You know what cost me $2 at a flea market like a couple years ago?
What?
My bucket. My beautiful, beautiful bucket.
Was it an adult bucket?
Yeah. Oh, it's an adult bucket.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. 201-209-9368. A question you got wrong recently, either a trivia night or on a quiz.
And the score is 1-0.
I was hoping that kids would call with like 5th and 6th grade questions.
Yeah.
Because I have a shot at those.
Kids are welcome to call us at 201-209-9368. Hi, caller. You're on the air.
Hey. I can't believe I got through.
I can't believe it
either. First time caller, long time listener.
Yeah. Really? First time caller?
I don't think so.
You're serious. I don't think so, but we'll take your word for it.
We hope you get the help you need.
I hope you get the help you need.
What's your name?
Hero.
What a coincidence. We've gotten calls in the past from a kid named Hero, but... this is the first time you've called. So what's your question, Hero?
Hero, what test question did you get wrong this week?
Well, it's not really a test, but my grandma keeps asking me a bunch of questions like, what's the difference between a cat and a comma? Why should you never trust Adams? And why is England the wettest country in Europe?
Wait, what's the difference between a cat?
A cat and a comma?
Yeah, what's the difference between a cat and a comma?
That sounds like some kind of riddle.
Yeah, there are a bunch of these riddles.
You know what a good answer to that would be, Hero? You could say, you're right, what's the difference? Like real sarcastic-like.
Oh, yeah, you gotta give Hero lessons on becoming a surly teen.
Yeah, and then
he'll need that. That's going to come in handy.
That's how you get your time slot on FMU, son. And then, now, why is England the wettest country? That would have, like, a real...
Yeah, well, that has a scientific explanation.
Yeah, that's an island, and it's...
No, the Gulf Stream.
Yeah, the Gulf Stream, that's what I meant. It's a Gulf Stream
deal.
Yeah,
the Gulf Stream.
Yeah, the Gulf Stream brings in... moisture from the Gulf of Mexico and across the big pond, and then it just dumps it all on England.
Yeah,
there, and that's foggy. It's very foggy there.
Is that the right answer, Hero?
No, it's not.
Oh, what's the right answer for the wet England question?
Because the Queen reigned there for 70 years.
Oh, it's a riddle. It's a funny riddle.
No, it's not a funny riddle. It's a riddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an unfunny riddle.
In a way, they're more challenging. They're harder to guess.
And what's the difference between a cat and a comma?
A cat has claws at the end of its paws, and the comma has a pause at the end of a clause.
All right, Hero, I'm going to tell you something now.
Yeah, Hero, we need you to just do us a favor and quit school. Just stop going to school. You don't need to go to school. Uncle Andy didn't go to school.
What I was going to tell you, Hero, is that this is a cry for help from your grandma.
Yeah. Your grandma's,
is it really?
Yeah. Your grandma wants hugs.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for calling, Hero.
She wants you to be her best friend, Hero.
And then the grand prize is the winner will get their name in the new Monk movie.
Yeah. Congratulations on the new Monk movie, by the way. I just found out about it.
Well... here's hoping.
Good job.
Thanks, man.
Another payday.
Yeah, I know. You got all you can think about is soaking me in March.
Yeah.
I know. It's good news for you. You're just so selfish.
Good news. It's great news.
I know.
You're working again.
Damn, I hate you.
You got the Einstein movie.
I hate you, and you're my best friend.
No, Einstein TV series. You got the Monk movie coming out.
I can't get past this. How do I reconcile this?
You have this independent documentary that's a big secret.
Well, that's not going to make me a nickel.
No?
But if it does make me a nickel, I'm sure you'll figure out a way to soak me out of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I will. Don't you worry about that, none.
I'm like a sponge in your sink that every night you just kind of squeeze, get all the water you can out of it. Would you like me if I was broke? Would I be here? Good question, right? I'm 32 years, right? I'm 32 years here.
Of course.
I've never had a different time slot, right? The longest.
That's true.
The longest consistent time slot on the schedule, right?
Yep, that's true.
Okay. Would you love me if I was broke?
Yeah.
Liar.
I would.
Liar.
It's the funny. It's the funny that makes me love you.
Hey, by the way, this conversation we're having, verbatim,
uh-huh.
Me and Beth have it almost every night.
Well, that's not good.
Would you love me if I was broken? Then she says, oh, yeah, it's the funny. That's Beth. It's the funny. You bought a house? You and your wife bought a new house?
Nope.
You're in contract. You've put a bid down.
Yeah.
Fantastic. It's where you and your wife and I are going to retire.
You're coming along?
Okay.
For our retirement?
I'm going to consider that an invitation.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Andy, would you retire with my wife and I?
Sure. Lots of Pictionary, lots of Boggle, lots of laughs. And then we're dead.
Yeah, no.
That's my plan. Good to have a plan.
I do have a plan for my retirement. And you know what my plan is?
What?
No Boggle.
That's all you have
That's
so far?
That's all I got, yeah. I'm defining it in the negative so far.
I'm going to watch the entire Afro Hordes series from start to finish, this time in order. You know what I did?
It's only going to take 5 days. I mean, you could do it in one day.
You know what I did? This is a true story. This is going to kill you. Of course, I watched Afro Hordes 1 first. Okay, everyone does. Uh-huh. But then I watched Afro Hordes 4.
Yeah.
And it went 1, 4, this is going to kill you. 2, 4 again, swear to Christ this is true. 5, then 3, then 7.
Wait a second now. Wait a second.
I kind of lost the whole thread, the whole narrative thread.
But it's just a lot of sex, isn't it?
Yeah, I fast forward through that stuff, to the sex.
Really?
There is a lot now that you mention it. Man, the show that's going on in my head is so fantastic. I really wish I could share it with you. Oh, my God.
What is it that's going on in your head that you can't share?
Right now I'm interviewing the late Carl Perkins.
Uh-huh. What are you and Carl talking about?
SeaWorld.
Was he a fan?
He loved SeaWorld.
Yeah. Would he go there with the Million Dollar Quartet?
Hey, hold on. Hold on, Ken. He's playing Blue Suede Shoes. Will you just let him sing?
Carl and Jerry Lee and...
And Elvis.
And Elvis and Johnny Cash would hang out...
And me. And me.
And watch the Killer Whale show.
Oh, man. The show in my head.
Okay.
Oh, man. The show in my head. People, you've got to trust me. It's amazing.
Hi, you're on the air.
Especially compared to this crap.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, this is Matt.
Hey, Matt. What's the name of your band?
Drats.
Drats, like D-R-A-T-S?
Is there any way I could ask you and your friends to keep it down a little, Ken? Okay.
I do want to hear your joke.
The zookeeper goes to the zoo janitor, goes to the janitor at the zoo.
Uh-huh.
The zookeeper says, hey, listen, we have a problem. The gorilla, the female gorilla we have here, is very depressed. For $500, would you go into the cage and make love to the female gorilla? The janitor says, I'll do it on 3 conditions. Number 1, you can't ever tell anyone about this.
Reasonable.
Number 2, no kissing on the lips.
I'm sure that was a request from the female gorilla.
And number 3, I'm going to need at least a week to raise the $500.
That's good, and it's even a fundraising joke.
Yeah, that's why I thought you would like
that's
it.
That's great.
Listen to this, Ken.
He'll take down Kenny when he comes his way. What did we say? Andy, don't play. He'll take down Kenny when he comes his way. What did we say?
What did they say?
Andy, don't
I don't play,
he'll
Ken.
Take down Kenny
I'll take,
when he
take
comes
down Kenny.
His
Yeah! Okay, that should rattle them.
These are being kind of mean to me.
201-209-9368. Exactly. They're the Breckmanettes. We'll hear from your cheerleaders when they arrive. I guess they're stuck in traffic.
I actually couldn't find a cheerleading squad that was willing to do it for me.
Yeah.
How did you manage to get the Felician University cheer dance team?
I got Heather drunk. That's the first step.
Okay.
And she made some calls.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, we're ready with the next call.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, two deceased celebrities who died first. Here we go. Go ahead, caller.
Lieber and Stoller.
Ooh.
Oh, good one. Songwriters, Lieber and Stoller.
All right, I'm ready with my guess.
Maybe it's a trick question. Maybe they died together. Maybe it was a head-on collision. Okay, well, this is a complete guess on my part. You're ready with your guess?
Yep.
Okay, I'll say Stoller.
Oh, well, if you're going to say Stoller, then I'm going to say Lieber.
Okay.
Caller?
Lieber died in 2011.
I win!
Died yet.
I win, and I take the lead. Yet.
Okay, oh. Hey, guys, I've lost the lead. What do we have to say? Hold on, here we go.
We have one for again.
Okay, we have one.
B-O-O. Boo, Ken!
Yeah, exactly.
Ken! Boo,
Ken.
Boo.
Oh,
yeah.
Ken. Boo, Ken.
Exactly right.
Ken.
Yes.
Boo, Ken.
Exactly.
Oh, Ken.
Could you hear that, Ken?
They should be cheering me. I'm in the lead. No,
but they're on my side of the court.
35 seconds to go.
Thank you, ref. Hey, Jesse.
Yeah?
You know what?
What?
If you let me keep the money, you know what I will do?
How?
I will say a special prayer for you tonight.
No.
Special, special prayer. I will ask God to give you all good luck in school and make you very popular. Don't you want to be popular? I will ask God to make you popular.
I'm keeping the money.
Jesse, don't listen to your parents. Don't listen to kids. Oh.
Okay, Jesse, congratulations.
Five.
You're keeping the money.
Well, now all the other kids have listened.
Yes, exactly. Jesse, you were a key player here. You have set the standard.
Give me that four-year-old.
You've set the standard for...
Give me that four-year-old.
Sarah and Lily and Peter and Abby and Brandon. Okay. All the rest of you, just do what Jesse did, and you'll get that $10 bill in the mail.
Okay, okay,
congratulations,
okay.
Jesse.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Damn kid. Give me that four-year-old.
You're going to ask God to make him popular.
Well, I was trying to think of what would have worked on me. When I was in fifth grade, I would have done anything. I think I would have killed my parents if God had said you'd be popular. Did the Outsiders have any other songs of note? Were they a one-hit wonder?
Oh, yeah. They did The Bear, The Man on the Dune, What's Wrong with You, You Remind Me.
So you're saying no.
You're
nothing,
everything on
nothing
earth.
Else
Summer is here.
No,
Teach Me
reading,
to Forget.
You're just reading a list of tracks. But the answer is no. Nothing else we ever heard of.
No, they were a one-hit wonder.
It's like me in my TV career.
Yeah. What was your one hit?
Or it's like you. You had that one good show about 12 years ago, remember?
Yeah.
That morning show you did.
Was your hit Monk?
Yeah, I'm a one-hit wonder. Yeah.
And Rabbi Finkelman.
Oh.
Rabbi Finkelman's not what they... That's not what they yell.
No, that's not what they yell.
Yeah, what they yell when you opened up for Human League...
Is pretty much...
In Washington, D.C.
How much longer will you be on the stage, Jew boy? That's pretty much, whatever they yelled, that's what they meant.
I love the story, and this is true, that Andy Breckman actually opened for Human League
yep.
in 1982 in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, yep.
And somebody requested Railroad Bill, I think.
I walked out. It was a bad booking. It was a classic. You want to hear the story?
Yeah.
It's a classic bad booking. I knew it. They knew it. The crowd knew it. The promoters knew it. I walked out, not very happy to be there. And somebody from the balcony yelled, Railroad Bill, which was the name of one of my songs. And so for a second there, I felt, hey, you know, right? I've got a fan. So I said, hey, somebody's seen me. And the same voice from the balcony yelled back, yeah, you suck. So that's how my set, that's how the set I was dreading began. I began in a 20-foot hole.
But now that you've had decades to think about the perfect comeback, what is the perfect comeback to, yeah, you suck?
Well, the perfect comeback should have been packing up the guitar, waving, not saying anything, and leaving the stage. Forfeiting the $45 that I was being paid. You know what I ended up doing?
What?
I ended up, the Human League had their set list taped to the... speakers on the stage. I ended up just strumming my guitar and making up songs based on their titles of their just kind of improvising. And then
wow.
It was just horrible. They were so mad at me. And then I told them all what to expect, you know, what the Human League's encores will be.
So you kind of like made up their big hit, Don't You Want Me Baby.
I kind of did my own version of that. Just
I have no idea. I want to hear you do a version of Don't You Want Me Baby right now.
I can't actually recall it. Here's what I do recall, though. They hated me, and I hated them. And then the other memory I have of that is I got after my set, I got paid. I wanted to leave right away. Because if you don't leave right away, you end up hearing the Human League. So I wanted to leave right away. And I packed up my guitar, and I said, okay, can I get out of here? And there was no back exit, or it was blocked or something. And the only way out was through the crowd that had just booed me off the stage.
I had to walk. It was the longest walk.
It was probably a very big crowd, like 20,000 people.
It was a big theater. But, oh, my God, was that a long walk. I couldn't find the exit.
I wonder if over the years they've been telling that story to their friends about recalling with fondness that folk singer.
That sad, sad boy who opened for us in Washington. I had breakfast with James Taylor once. Does that count as anything?
Yeah. Was that trying to talk him into doing your show?
No. I was friends with Livingston, his brother.
Right. You knew him from the folk circuit.
From the folk circuit. I was staying the night at Livingston's house.
Whoa!
At Martha's Vineyard. I used to open for him.
Wow, you slept over Livingston Taylor's house.
Hold on. The story is just getting started.
Okay. I like this story. Go on.
The story's about half over, if you're interested.
Okay.
I came downstairs in the morning.
Okay.
Into the kitchen.
Because you woke up in the morning.
I woke up in the morning. I made myself a little breakfast. I'm sitting at the breakfast table.
Uh-huh.
And I hear from the other room a familiar voice. It wasn't Livingston.
Oh, my gosh.
It was James. And he was singing as if it was a private concert just for me. He was singing the theme from The Love Boat.
Get out of town.
No, that's a true story. That's a true story.
On his guitar?
No, he was just doing something. He was puttering around. We were both. I remember what it was. Here's what it was. Oh, it was in Boston. This is what it was. Livingston was guest hosting a local TV show.
Okay.
And could invite some guests to appear on his show. And the two guests he invited were me. I guess I can't believe I was the first or second or third or fourth choice. But it was me and his brother, James. So we were both went to the studio and did the show.
Now, I can't remember how the theme from The Love Boat goes. Can you sing a few bars?
Love, inviting, and new. Something, something, something. It might have been written by Charles. The lyrics, I believe, were by Charles. Oh, the music was by Charles Fox, whose son is an old friend of mine. And by the way, if you want to make money in this world, and obviously, Ken, you don't.
Yeah.
Write yourself a couple of TV theme songs.
Okay. And was Livingston nude? Or was James nude when you heard him puttering around the kitchen? Was he puttering around the kitchen nude?
No, he was not nude. And, interesting story, glad you asked it, he would not get nude. He just wouldn't. There was nothing I could say to get him nude. Interesting story.
Why were
you? It made for a very uncomfortable breakfast.
Were you nude?
No.
Then why were you asking him to get nude?
In hindsight, Ken, always 2020, I should have talked about other things. I should have asked him other questions.
How did he react to you asking him to take his clothes off?
Very, very funny. He seemed to suddenly not be hungry. Very funny story. He was hungry. I'm famished. He made himself this big plate. And suddenly he realized he wasn't hungry.
Wasn't hungry.
Yeah, wasn't hungry, yeah.
And was he still singing the Love Boat theme? Or?
No.
He stopped that as well.
Yeah. I remember the sound his car made on the gravel as it pulled away.
I see.
But to answer your question, to go back, no, never saw him nude.
And Livingston, did you ever see him nude?
No. Never saw him nude either. Our relationship ended pretty quickly after that breakfast. With the Taylor brothers.
And yet after this weird incident where you tried to talk the clothes off of James Taylor, you apparently asked him to guest star on your little TV show.
Yeah.
How did he remember the nude incident?
Eventually he did.
Oh, maybe that's...
He said, wait, you're the please get nude guy. That's what he called me. The please get nude guy. That was my little nickname around the Taylor household.
I can't believe you had the balls to even ask him to guest star after that.
Yeah.
You should have just gone right for Willie Nelson.
Well, Ken, I can't avoid people just because I asked them to get nude. I wouldn't have a show.
Wait a second.
I wish we had more time to go into this.
How many people do you ask to get nude?
It used to be my thing. It was a thing. Everybody has a thing.
Oh, my God. That's what Louis C.K. says. That's exactly...
Wait, is it really?
It is exactly what Louis C.K. says.
It was his thing?
He says, yeah, that's my thing.
Oh, God. Yeah, but he really did it. Oh, God.
Wow. So that's how comedians and comedy writers, that's how they describe their fetishes.
Louis C.K. was actually my first big success with my Please Get Nude campaign.
Really?
Yeah.
Did it ever occur to you that you're...
Yes, ever occurred to me. Yes, this is going to be good. Yes.
That when you asked Louis C.K. if he might want to get nude, that might have led him to his thing.
Yeah, I mean, it might have sparked his hobby.
Well, you know his thing. Yeah,
I do know his thing. Yeah,
his thing was masturbating in front of women.
Yeah, not always in front. Sometimes he was off to the side.
So when you asked him to take, this is
gold. This routine is gold. I hope somebody's jotting down notes.
When you asked Louis C.K. to take his clothes off,
please, show end now.
Was he around?
Please show end now. Hold on, Ken, I'm praying.
That's how you pray. So when you pray, you eliminate all verbs. It's like...
I get right to the point.
This is from the time...
God is a busy man.
This is from the time you spent hanging out with Injun Bob. Yeah. He taught you how to pray without verbs.
That's my impression of how Native Americans pray to their gods.
Show end now.
Show end now.
I see.
You know, honey, normally what grown-up shows do is they have something called a pre-interview. Do you know what a pre-interview is?
I do.
Do you really? Yeah. Oh, it's when the segment producer talks to the guest before the show to ask them what they want to talk about. We didn't do that, did we?
No.
So I thought what might be fun is for us to meet the guests now, do the pre-interview now, live in front of the audience, and talk to all the guests one at a time and take notes. Do you have a pen?
Oh.
Yeah, we'll take notes. Yeah. Okay, here we go. So let's meet all the guests one at a time very briefly and do a pre-interview.
Okay.
And then we'll start the show again, and we'll know what to ask them.
Can't wait.
This is exciting. I think people are interested in this because they're seeing a father-daughter dynamic. Like, people wonder, like, when you see people, you always wonder, I wonder what he's like as a father. And now they're getting a little taste of it. Don't tell them about, you know, the bad stuff. Okay. Don't tell them about the special times. How we hated Thursday nights, didn't we, growing up? Okay. Horrible joke. I wish I had that one back. That's just horrible. I can't believe I said that with you sitting on the same couch. I'm so sorry. Okay. So let's meet all the guests and take notes. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. So our first guest will be Mr. Al Jaffe. So this is our pre-interview. Let's meet him now for the pre-interview. Okay. Should we introduce him like a big deal now? Or this is not the big interview. This is just the pre-interview. So let's meet Al Jaffe now. Oh, this is a great honor, but I won't talk about what a great honor it is now. This is just a pre-interview. Mr. Jaffe. We're going to be talking in about 15 minutes for real.
This is sign language, right?
No, this is for real. So one thing I want to talk to you about your association with how you began as an artist and a little bit about your background and then how you hooked up with the folks at Mad Magazine. Is that the most interesting stories we can add? Is there something what should I ask you when the interview actually goes down?
So if you can move the mic closer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go.
Thanks. I'm not sure. I the only thing that's interesting is how long I've lasted.
No. Well, that is. Now, it is since the early 60s. I was reading Mad in the early 60s, and you were associated with it. You've been in almost every issue, virtually every issue, even the last issue. I mean, all the way. Is that true? Have you missed any of them?
Yes, I have missed some of them. Actually, I wasn't one of the original crew of Mad.
Right. You wanted to see if the ship would float before you boarded the ship.
Naturally. I mean, you don't jump into things like this.
Exactly. You know.
But, I was doing very well before Mad.
Okay.
And then I decided that I was making too much money, so I decided.
Okay, we'll get into that. That's great. Right. When the interview begins, so we'll get, how did you and Mad end up together and your long association? I want to ask about the birth of Snappy Answers. I want to ask about the birth of Fold-In.
Okay, I can tell you about that.
Is there any question, is there any story that I should add? Don't tell me the story yet, but is there a great story, the story you've been dining out on for 30 years that I should ask you about? Don't tell me the story, though.
Well, actually, I can't think of one.
Oh. Can we make something up?
We
can. How about how you came up with the idea for the Fold-It? Maybe some kind of
No, hold on.
Don't tell me yet. But is that worth asking?
Yes.
Okay. I can't wait.
And snappy answers.
Okay, that's good. Okay. And maybe your favorite Fold-In, the one you're proudest of?
Yes, I can tell you that.
Okay, that'll be great too. What else should we ask him, honey?
I can't think of anything.
We're good to go? I thought it would be fun to teach. I have a Mad Magazine with me to teach Julie how to do a Fold-In. Wouldn't that be fun?
Well, don't look at me.
Okay.
I have enough trouble trying to do my own.
Okay. I'd love to do a Fold-In with you right here. Oh, I'd be thrilled. Okay, it's going to be great, and we'll see you back here in 10 minutes.
Very good.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, who's? Okay, it's going to be great. Okay. Oh, watch out for all the cables.
Hi, you're on the air. Would you like to introduce tonight's program?
Hi, this is Lucas with the Sheaves. We're playing on WFMU on, what's the date again? The 21st at 3 p.m.
Okay, July. July.
You know, we're in New York City.
July 21st, you're playing live on the radio station here?
Yes, we are.
And what's the name of the band again?
The Sheaves. We're on Dot Dash Records.
The Sheiks?
Sheaves.
Sheaves.
No,
yes,
Sheaves.
Like Thieves.
Oh, Sheaves like Thieves. Okay.
Yes.
I have somebody...
No, with an SH, though.
Okay. I have somebody here who can help you with any information you need. Andy, what's your name again, Mr. Sheaves?
Lucas. I was just calling to plug our set for fun.
Lucas. Lucas from the Sheaves?
Yeah, Lucas from the Sheaves.
This is not Lucas from the Sheaves.
This, really
you don't
is.
Know. You don't know anyone from the Sheaves.
This is. I know Lucas now. A stranger is just a friend you haven't met yet.
That's probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Lucas, describe the music the Sheaves play. How would you describe it?
Sort of like cock rock.
Clock rock.
Clock rock.
Like and are 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock rock.
Are you with some bandmates? Are you with some bandmates at the moment?
Yeah, we just made it into town.
Yeah. We're in the Holland Tunnel right now.
Oh, good for you. And Lucas, do you let the bass player and the drummer have equal say in the band?
Of course.
He said, of course.
And Lucas. Andy. And
he
Lucas.
Said, he said that he gives the bass player and the
but
drummer.
But Lucas, you don't know what Lucas plays.
Lucas, what do you play?
I play the shaker.
He plays, yeah.
And, the mandolin.
And Ken, you're the station manager. What are you going to do about crowd control when the Sheaves are here live?
We have some orange cones. We have some metal gates. We can hire some rent-a-cops. We got it all figured out.
Okay.
Lucas, whose program are you playing on, by the way?
Paul Bruno.
Paul Bruno's program. Andy, you better tell him all about Paul Bruno.
Paul Bruno is a fictitious character that this guy just made up. It's fun to pretend. It's fun to have imaginary friends.
I gave a show to a guy named Paul Bruno. Are you telling me that he pulled the wool over my eyes, too?
Oh, no. Then I was wrong. Then I stand corrected.
Okay.
Apparently, he's a real guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, Ken and Lucas, you know I only get one show a week. I get 60 minutes a week.
Oh, Lucas, yeah, my co-host here, Andy Breckman, he only gets 1 hour a week.
We can leave you alone.
The problem is, Lucas, I just don't care about you and your career and your band is my problem.
That's totally okay.
I'm just being completely upfront about it. So thank you very much for calling. I'm sure somebody will care. This guy, Paul, what's his name?
Paul Bruno.
He apparently is a fan.
Yeah.
So you're in good hands.
Yeah. Lucas, where can people follow up on the Sheaves music? Are you on Bandcamp or how can people track?
Yeah, we're on Bandcamp and our tour dates are listed there too.
If you want to see the Sheaves in person, and you're in Manhattan, get your ass down to the Holland Tunnel now. Now, you have like 3 minutes, and you can see him drive by. Yeah.
Okay, and what day are the Sheaves performing on?
Doesn't matter.
Paul Bruno
It so
show?
Doesn't matter. No yeah, one cares. No. It so doesn't matter.
All right, thank you, Lucas.
On behalf of my listeners,
tune
we're
into Paul
moving
Bruno.
On. Yeah.
Tune into Paul Bruno.
Here we
show
go. Thank
for,
you.
For the Sheaves.
Thank you.
Coming up a Sunday close to you.
Andy, God, you're an easy mark.
Andy,
these guys call and you give them 5 minutes of airtime.
I know that you forgot your gunny sack today.
Yeah, I did. I forgot my little knapsack.
So I have a present for you.
Oh, good. You have gum? Oh, you have Purell?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always
some Purell for you.
I've been gopping this stuff on before, even before the lockdown.
Really? Even before COVID, you were using Purell like crazy.
Yeah, I was keeping that company alive. If I got sick, if I didn't buy it for a couple weeks went by, the president of the company would call me.
Hey,
is everything okay? Andy, you okay?
I think we have some Chiefs fans.
Hi, no, we don't.
Hi, you're on the air.
Dear God.
Hi, this is Alan.
Oh, hey, Alan, are you in the Chiefs? You're the Chiefs manager.
I'm the Chiefs, yes. And I'm the bassist for the Chiefs.
And do you feel like you get an equal say?
Honestly, not really, no.
Yeah, no way.
Yeah,
Lucas is a bit of a tyrant.
Yeah, they.
Well, that's only because, and there's a reason for that. It's only because he's more talented than you. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just not fair.
That's not fair.
It's not fair at all. God gave you less talent, and here you are. Now you have to pay the price. It just isn't fair.
And talent really doesn't matter when you're doing rock and roll.
Well, yeah,
exactly.
I've heard enough rock and roll to agree with that.
Yeah, you've got the accent. You've got the charisma.
Yeah. You've apparently
got the chicks as well. The one who gets the most.
And you've got the working. You've got the working cell phone. Works in the Holland Tunnel. That's impressive.
All right. Well, so my friend Andy here only gets 1 hour a week, so we're going to go back to our show.
You should come to our show on the 21st.
Oh! I just remembered. I have anything else to do that day. I'm so sorry.
What do you have to do?
Let me think. What day is it?
They came all the way from Phoenix.
What day is it?
Yeah, come all the way from
they're psych-tinged ramshackle DIY.
We'll leave it like this. I will try to make it, but don't wait for me. Just start without me if I'm running late.
Andy, do you like the fall? Do you like the fall? Do you like Swell Maps?
Are these other bands?
Then you would love the Sheaves. Okay,
I don't argue with that. If you love the fall and you love Swell Maps, you'll love the Sheaves. I will agree with that.
Okay, good.
We concur.
I'm glad we agree.
Common ground.
Yes, good.
No question about that.
I wanted to end on an up note. Now
that's probably the biggest if in the history of the English language.
No, it's not.
Yeah, if you love the fall and you love Fall Men.
Swell Maps.
Yeah, Swell Maps.
Swell Maps turned into Fall Men?
I don't know.
Yeah, it turned into Fall Men. So anyway,
one show a week.
All right, we're not.
These guys are in some kind of Toyota in the Holland Tunnel, stuck in traffic.
They made it all the way from Phoenix.
Nobody cares. Really, literally, nobody cares.
They've got a new record out now called A Salve for Institution, out now on Dot Dash Sounds.
Nobody told me they have a new record out on Dot Dash Sounds.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Andy Breckman will return for a live show next Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. Thanks to Irwin and listener Paul for editing those clips together. Don't forget that the Soaking of the Breckman is approaching. The WFMU fundraising marathon is March 2nd through 15th next month, and the Soaking of the Breckman takes place 6:15 p.m. on Wednesday, March 4th. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned for 21 Lounge with Don Fleming.
Call us lucky, you and I. Lucky girl, lucky guy. And when I hold your hand or touch
touch your cheek. I know I'm on a lifetime lucky streak. A lucky rainbow lights the sky. When we kiss, when we sigh, they call me lucky, Mr. Lucky Guy. And you're the reason why. Evening, chillin'. This is Don Hayes from the Mark 2121 Lounge, right on the ocean in Fort Lauderdale. We have a nice little group here tonight, and we're going to give you a rendition of what we do every night.
Thank you. We would like to do a theme from a movie now. It is from Mondo Kani, the theme song. The name of it is More. Didn't win the Academy Award it was up for. Maybe it should have, but it's a great number.
Longer than all.